you know, an overwhelming demand for the offshore radio stations to be saved. And despite appeal after appeal after appeal from all sections, all classes of the community to allow us to come on shore, at least for an interim period, the government have blandly ignored these demands and have gone ahead doggedly to put through the first reading of the bill, then the second reading of the bill, and the third reading, I understand, is expected to go through the House of Commons in about a fortnight from today. Now, what the outcome will be is forecast by many as a foregone conclusion. But I, for one, have never conceded defeat. Oh, yes, I do remember saying, and I can hear lots of you out there saying, ah, but you did once. I said, yes, once on a Sunday, that it was all over by the shouting. But I went on to say, hurriedly after that, that we would do everything in our power to keep the station on the air. You see, please, if I may again, let me explain to you some of the problems facing us if we are to continue after the Marine Offences Bill is law. First of all, you see, it will be an offence, and a serious offence, for anyone to help us to maintain the station. Even extending, this is incidentally, extending to anyone who gives us a glass of water. And I mean anyone in Britain. And the fines, incidentally, outlined in the bill are very heavy indeed. And it will also be a serious offence for anyone in the UK to advertise with us on the station. Thereby, you see, when we have no advertising revenue, well, we simply have to die, of course, because this is the only means of income we have, is from the advertising revenue. And further, it will be a serious offence for anybody, citizen, to work on a radio ship or to work in an office on the mainland in the UK. In fact, it will be an offence for anyone in the United Kingdom to have anything at all to do with an offshore radio station. And as for the lack of urgency, which one of the writers has complained about, please let me say that it was I who organized the first ever petition form signing. And I can claim that we sent over to MPs in the House of Commons and to the Postmaster General and to the Prime Minister and Uncle Tom Cobley and all, more than 2.5 million signatures. And it was I who led the vanguard on the attack on the government for the policy they have with regard to sound broadcasting today. It was I who started the first ever magazine to further expand our views and our aims and our ideals. It was I who broke away from the mainstream of the pop music that was being offered by the other offshore radio stations. It was I who organized a program scheduled to embrace the housewives in the morning and the afternoon. It was I who organized the Kayleys and the Hoolies and the jazz programs and so many other things. And it was I, too, who organized the first ever Sixpenny Snowball Show. And in fact, it was I all the way. And I'd just like to mention this too, that it was I who worked round the clock, and believe you me, it was working round the clock in the early days to get our station on the air. You know, in the early days of January 1965, I once worked for 5 days and 5 nights without sleep, and fell asleep in a lay-by on my way home in the Balmore Road one evening about 8:30, and I slept until the following morning. And when I woke up with a 5 days beard, hungry and tired and so on, I wondered then, way back in January 1965, I said to myself, is it worth it? And when I put on the radio in the morning, there I heard the sound of the Black Bear, of the signature tune. I said, of course it's worth it. Certainly it is worth it. And again, it was I who had to tell my fellow directors at a meeting in the Glasgow office only last week that not one of the things I organised, if I may, I would like just to repeat that, that not one of the things I organised, including the six-mini snowball show, was being well supported. You see, for example, the magazine fell away through lack of support, and the advertisers, well, you heard me speak about them only last week, the advertisers, especially in the Edinburgh, in the Dundee, in the Aberdeen areas, well, they never supported us at all. Now, I only mention some of these things so that you may understand that I, and not only I, but a very loyal band of people who have been with me since the very early days, some of them are with the station still, and they've been with me right since, as I said, since the very early days. These people too have worked with me, as I said, round the clock to keep the station on the air. We've been up against almost insurmountable obstacles like breakdowns, the supply of spare parts, seasickness, the lack of food on the boat, the lack of water, gales, breakdowns in the tender, engines going on fire, you name it, it's happened to us. Well, where some people get the idea that there's been a lack of urgency, well, I just can't understand it. And as for me being a professional speaker, well, I'm not a professional actor. I am a writer, a journalist, an author, and a playwright. Am I complaining? Yes, I'm complaining. I'm complaining that while the majority of the listeners to our station are a loyal and enthusiastic audience, as loyal, in fact, as anywhere in the UK today, and even more so, the businessmen of Scotland have let us down, and very badly indeed. There's no question about that whatsoever. Well, for the benefit of all of those today who may be expecting to hear a professional speaking, I'm sorry if I'm not a Redgrave or a Brando or an Olivier. I thank God I am not an actor. Believe me, I have enough problems of my own as a writer. But I have digressed from my main theme for today, and that is to talk about our supporters club. Now, as I said earlier, I received somewhere in the region of 400 letters or more in answer to my appeal for suggestions for the club. Now, I'm not too unhappy about 400 letters, although I can hear some of the sceptics out there saying, ah, but from an audience of over 6 million people, 400 is just a drop in the bucket. But, no, I'm not complaining. 400 is a pretty good section, you know, sort of cross-section, rather, of the public, and they're from all eights and pits. Aberdeen, from Perth, from Dundee, from Stirling, from Glasgow, from Paisley, Ayrshire, and beyond, from Ireland too, incidentally. So I'm not too unhappy about that, but I would just like to say this to you, that I'm very keen on the idea of a supporters club in order to keep the station image alive. Now, I know that some of you perhaps have the wrong idea here, although I did try to explain to you very carefully that I wouldn't be able to guarantee to keep the station on the air in view of the many problems involved here. So I'd just like to repeat that again, that the idea of a supporters club would be to keep the image of the station going by organising clan balls, clan centres, by the sale of T-shirts, by the sale of pens, organising holidays, weekly draws, weekly raffles, etc., etc., etc. Until, as I said, there's a change of the government of the day and or until the PMD, Mr. Edward Short, may change his mind, may have the courage to do this, and allow us to come on shore, at least, as I said earlier, until his own services are ready to be operated. Well, in a few days, maybe by Wednesday or so, I'll be going down to London to discuss with my other directors there the idea, or rather, I should say, I beg your pardon, to finalise our supporters club plans. I'll be taking every one of the letters with me in a folder, every single one of them, so that they may see a sort of a random sample selection. They'll just be able to read them as I have, so that they may form their own ideas as to the kind of people who have been writing in for the Supporters Club. And next Sunday, or perhaps even earlier, I'll be back to tell you what we have decided to do. And I only hope that the answer is yes. Because as I said to you very earlier, earlier on, I'm very keen to have the Supporters Club going, because Marina Offences Bill, or no, or the lack of advertising, or the fall-off of the magazine, etc., 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 I have a tremendous faith in our audience. And I know that they wish to support me. I really believe this sincerely. And therefore, I want to keep the link. As I said earlier, we have forged over the 18 months or so. We have been going. I want to keep the link there. I want to forge the link and to keep it for all time, perhaps. Well, there we are then. I hope I haven't been sounding off too hotly today. But you know me, I like to speak my mind. It's the only way to get through things, and I'm sure you'll appreciate that too. And in fact, that's all I have to say to you this afternoon. Again, I like to end these Weespiels on a Sunday by asking you, if you're driving this week, to drive, please, with care. And until I speak to you again next Sunday or earlier, look after yourselves, and all the very best then from me and all of the boys and girls at Radio Scotland House. Bye-bye for now. Bye-bye.
And our Sunday afternoon thanks to our managing director, Mr. Tommy Shields, for his weekly Good Neighbours and Fireside Chat. We invite you to join Mr. Shields at the same time next Sunday. That's 1:30. 2:42 time right now is just coming up to 10 minutes to 2, and it's time for our Truth for Youth programme.
Welcome to the Truth for Youth program, an interdenominational evangelical Christian program for you, Britain's youth. Now here's Barbara to sing, In My Heart.